Welcome back in the Morning Hookup. Bill Hooks, Will Wilson, still hanging out with you. Hope you guys are still hanging with us. Having a great Monday. Kick it off to a great start. To do that and to help us do that is Evan Bland, Omaha World Herald. Evan, happy Monday.
Happy Monday. How's it going?
It's good. You know, we were just talking about, you know, college baseball and the College World Series. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, Nebraska had that, you know, the tough series, didn't get it done. But was it satisfying yesterday to watch NC State celebrate there?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised. I thought, you know, when Arkansas won game one, as big as they did, that was going to be kind of what we heard about for the next 2 weeks was, oh boy, you know, Nebraska, that could have been their chance to roll over NC State. And mm-hmm. narrative really switched the final two games of that series. And, I mean, that was a great game tonight. And, you know, drama, home runs late. You know, Arkansas did in that game what it wanted to do, really, in that game three against Nebraska, which was to start Kevin Copps and just see how long he could go. But, yeah, I mean, having just been down there the previous weekend and seeing what that venue is all about, I mean, you have to have a ton of respect for NC State. But, you know, it's a number one overall seed in this era of a 64-team tournament is about a 2-3 chance of making it to Omaha. So it really is an upset in a lot of ways that the Razorbacks didn't make it to the CWS. They hadn't lost a series all year. But, yeah, I mean, having been around some of the fans and gotten some feedback, even from some things that I wrote in the last week or so, you know, the fact that their season's over, I guess, doesn't make me lose any sleep. it was a fun series for sure and an upset in college baseball.
Evan, you got a chance, and again, we got a chance to watch Copps pitch a lot, you know, on TV, but you got a chance to watch him down there. What could be said about a young man like that? Because that is insane. First of all, I was halfway worried about the number of pitches he's thrown over the last 2 weeks, even last night, because he goes a long way. But what could be said about what he meant to that team? And I don't know how they can't hit it, because it's the same pitch. It's just coming from different levels. It's crazy.
Yeah, you know, I will say watching him pitch on TV, you can see a lot more what makes him tough. Yep. In terms of his movement. I mean, he throws that gyro pitch that should break back like toward the batter, and it kind of goes the other way. It has a really weird kind of unnatural movement to it that has fooled a lot of hitters, obviously, over the course of time. But, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting he's an interesting player on an interesting team because – Arkansas was so dominant in the SEC. They win the regular season title, the tournament title. They had a couple of ill-timed injuries to their number two starter and to one of their swing guys in the pen. And so you had this really unusual situation where the prohibitive national title favorites basically had two pitchers that they felt good about in high-leverage spots. I mean, it was Patrick Wicklander as a starter, and it was like all Kevin Copps everywhere else. And that was kind of the joke after last weekend was, you know, let's see the penciled in starters for the Supers. It's going to be Kevin Copps in game one and probably Kevin Copps in game two. But, I mean, when you're in the park, and especially at Baum Walker, I mean, the fans obviously know what he means to their program. Like when Arkansas was playing NJIT and he trots down there to the pen in left field in like the third inning, I mean, it felt like they had lost the game if you were just in the crowd because they're used to seeing him come in maybe in the seventh inning and finishing things out. And so the fact that they used him early on, you could tell that was causing a lot of murmurs and kind of whispers in the crowd. And then when they bring him in, I think it was the fourth or fifth against Nebraska that first time, it was the same sort of deal. Like, oh, this is different. You know, we're burning our best guy sort of thing. And even the game that Nebraska won, when Kevin Copps didn't come into that game against Arkansas or against Nebraska, but he went down to the bullpen. And even then, like, just the specter of Kevin Copps in left field, like, you're always looking over, like, is he throwing? You know, do we need to score a run now? Like, even when he didn't come in the game, he affected what was going on. You could feel that sense of urgency. So, I mean, he had an amazing career. He had an amazing season. He's going to get the hardware for it. You know, if you're a college baseball purist, in some ways it's disappointing that he won't get to do what he does on the biggest college stage. But, you know, again, on the other hand, he's finally going to get a rest that arm after almost 350 pitches over the last two weekends.
And the Omaha Hogs are just going to be the Hogs now, of course.
That's it.
You know, and
you stay home Hogs.
Yeah, that's right. We're getting into the College World Series now. Evan, I got a question for you. What's your earliest College World Series memory?
You know, I didn't go to a ton of games as a kid. I mean, I grew up in Lincoln, and it's kind of a weird dynamic sometimes. Like, you either grow up doing that sort of thing every year, or you don't. You know, I've been covering it with the World Herald since the last couple of years of Rosenblatt. So I suppose that's probably what I would go back to was, 2009, 2010, those final seasons at the Blatt with the good South Carolina teams. And, I used the restroom next to Nomar Garciaparra when he was calling the game. And as a Cubs fan, that was a big deal like 10 years ago for me. But, you know, it was a great setup over there. I often think back to kind of the purity of the Rosenblatt days, not to be a kind of back-in-my-day sort of guy or anything like that, because it did have its flaws in its setup and in its facilities. But, it was cool just to see kind of the roots of college baseball, the roots of Rosenblatt, the pageantry of it, all the fans that would come up and make a week or two out of it. And, I guess I would also say that it's been cool in the last 10 years to see how TD Ameritrade has become that home. I mean, if you remember those first couple of years when it was a park, when it was the home of the CWS, the fences were too far back and it was faced the wrong way, and people were kind of upset that it wasn't Rosenblatt in a lot of different ways. But as the downtown Omaha has settled in and some restaurants have popped up and some shops have been there and teams have gotten used to what TD Ameritrade is, it's been cool, I think, just to see how that event in Omaha has evolved in the last 10 years to become something that's pretty cool.
We're speaking to Evan Bland, Omaha World Herald. Hey, Evan, now let's turn our attention to the Huskers. Obviously, season over, but you know what? You got to look for next year. There's recruiting going on, all that good stuff. In our best-case scenario, looking at, because we're still on hold, we got some draft prospects out there right now. You know, obviously, for all intents and purposes, Schwelly gone. If you're predicting and you're maybe, in what you've seen, you've heard, who's the Friday starter next year?
Well, that's probably one of the most interesting storylines of the draft to me is what happens with Cade Kovach. I would give him a little better than 50-50 chance to be back next year. I'd say maybe 60-40 if I were to guess, because he has 2 years left. Oftentimes guys who have good seasons, maybe they go pro with one season remaining because then you have that bargaining power, that leverage with a pro team to get a better signing bonus and things of that nature. Well, because of COVID and that extra season, Cade Kovach has 2 years to go. I know this season meant a lot to him, what he was able to do, how he developed under this coaching staff. There's thoughts that he could continue to come along that track and maybe have an even better season next year. And, education I know is important for him and his family too, and he's working on a degree. And so I would lean toward him coming back. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets drafted because he had a good season. And, guys who strike out more than a batter per inning, especially against an all-league schedule the way that he did, those guys don't grow on trees. I mean, he really kind of came into his own this last year especially. So, we'll see. But he would be, I would think, still plan A, obviously, for that Friday night role. If it's not him, you kind of look at the rotation. I think Kyle Perry would be a guy that you could look at pretty reasonably stepping into that spot. I mean, Chance Roach is gone as the Saturday guy. Shea Shaneman will be back. I don't know that he's necessarily a Friday guy that they're looking at this point, but you saw what Kyle Perry did, less than a year removed from Tommy John surgery, so he'd be that, one of those guys too. And I don't think you can discount what some of these freshman arms are going to be like when they come in. I mean, Drew Christo could step into a starting role pretty quickly. C.J. Hood has mid-90s stuff already. So those are some guys. And then some other guys out of the bullpen that Husker fans would be familiar with, Cody Frank, Jake Buns, those are guys who could be in the starting rotation in some capacity. I don't think probably in the Friday spot, but maybe Saturday, Sunday, midweek sort of roles for them. But as far as the Friday guy, I would say Povich or Perry would probably be where the smart money is.
The other one that I was thinking about is, from the infield perspective, Schwelly being gone, is that a situation where Bryce Matthews moves over, then who plays second?
Yeah, I think it is. I think the coaches like what Matthews can do at shortstop. Obviously, you've got third base locked up with Max Anderson. So, yeah, I mean, second base, you probably go Cam Chick. I mean, he played some pretty darn good second base in the regional a couple weeks ago, and they've liked him as DH, and he's played some really good left field also. But he would probably be that guy who would hold down that spot at second. You know, sometimes Efrai Cervantes is a guy they really like defensively at short. He could come back. I'm sure he probably will come back and play some of that, and that would allow Matthews to play some second base still too. So I think that position's probably between Matthews and Chick, the way that they had it this past year, that's probably how that'll go. And then, you know, first base is a little open too, right? With Luke Bascom having used up his eligibility. I think they've liked Clayton Banjoff over there, Jack Stile. Would be a couple of younger guys. And then they have some freshmen coming in too. I know Kyler Randazzo would be a guy that they like maybe at that spot in the infield. And some other freshman bats. Like, you don't really know who's going to pop every year as a freshman, but most good teams nationally do have a couple of those guys who do, so you can't maybe rule out a freshman coming in and taking a role. That's pretty much has been the case every year in Nebraska, but I think first base would be an opportunity for maybe someone to do that there too.
Also an interesting one is in the outfield in Jackson Hallmark and what he ends up beside doing. What's your feeling with him?
Yep, you'd be the other big one. I mean, if he goes, the entire outfield will be reset. I mean, you're talking Acker, Mojo Hagee, Logan Foster, they're all gone for sure.
Yep.
If Hallmark's gone, that's, you're talking your top four outfielders are going to have to be replaced. And they have some guys for that, but that's a lot. That's a big ask. Yeah, I mean, Hallmark's interesting there, too, because he really came on late in the year as kind of that do-everything guy. I mean, he could lay down the bunts. He was hitting for power in big spots. He has been that kind of emotional vocal leader for Nebraska. I think he's been a big reason why they haven't shied away from these moments and really have embraced some of the big moments that they had late in the season. And you look at, everyone talked about the senior leadership last year and the captains. Well, he would be the only captain of the four who could return next year. And this is kind of like I said earlier, you get in those draft situations where you want to have some leverage. This would be his chance to have that leverage because he has one more season that was afforded to him through the pandemic. So he's another, I think, kind of 50-50 guy where it's just going to depend, like, who sees something in him. I think that's really the story with Hallmark, with Povich, with a guy like Kim Wynn out of the bullpen, who's somebody else who could go one way or the other. It's just a matter of, is there a team out there that believes in you enough to invest a high pick in you, to invest some money in you? And I think if there is, and those guys all have pro dreams. I mean, that's why they're playing college baseball, is to be a professional one day. But if there's not, I think they also understand that coming back to Nebraska, enjoying that another season in 2022, developing more, raising stock a little bit, isn't the worst thing either. So I really think a lot of these guys wouldn't mind going either way. They're just kind of waiting to see where they fall in this 20-round draft here next month.
We're talking to Evan Bland. Evan, you know, when you look at this whole season and what Will Bolt was able to do with the team, and you look back to the season they played before this year, it's amazing. It's crazy what he did in that short time. Explain the perception of Will Bolt after this season.
Yeah, I mean, it raises the bar. Like, the last, I think it's been interesting because when Nebraska came into the Big Ten a decade ago, there was this assumption by most, and I think not entirely unfairly, that Nebraska would run away with the Big Ten. I mean, it was a one bid league in 2012. It wasn't very deep, and Nebraska, it didn't do it. It had some good teams, but it never ran away. It rarely won the title. It didn't do it until 2017. And so I think for the last you know, 8 or 9 years, the idea has been make a regional, and it kind of felt like that might be the ceiling unless you get lucky. But what Will Bolt did this year, you mean for Nebraska, Nebraska plays 43 league games in a 44 game season. You win the thing by 3.5 games. You play everybody. And then you go into a regional that you probably shouldn't have been in terms of the draw. You beat Arkansas in that one Sunday night game. You have the lead going into the late innings on Monday. I think it has changed. It has raised the bar. Like, I think if you were to tell Nebraska fans that the Huskers were going to win, you know, 5 of the next 10 Big Ten titles and have 2 College World Series appearances, like, in the next 10 years, like, I think people would say, okay, that's probably not crazy, right? Like, that seems doable or within the realm of realistic possibility. And I don't know that you would think that that was the case, even 3 years ago. And that's not to badmouth the previous staff. I mean, they had some great recruits, and a lot of those recruits were the leaders on this team this year. But I think there was a consistency that this staff brought this year. There was again, we talk about culture all the time, and I think it really manifested in this group where, like, the circumstances, it just didn't matter to them. And the seeding, even at the end, the biggest don't care moment of all, they rose up, they won a game, and they just fell a little bit short in the bullpen late on Monday, on the last day of the regional. So I think it really does kind of tickle the imagination a little bit. You start to get those memories of the early 2000s when it was just like, you know, the sky was the limit, and it was, every year was fun, and it was going to be what, you're excited to see what kind of postseason run this team had in it. And so I think they're getting back to that point again where you expect to contend in the Big Ten every year, and if things line up right, you know, you're probably in store for a few special seasons too.
Now, Evan, in your opinion also, and when you get stuff like this and you kind of feel like something special could be brewing, you also have to look back and go, okay, because we've talked a lot about Coach Bolt and Coach Bolt trying to get locked up in an extension. Hopefully that's coming and that we think that's going to happen to get him locked up. You also have to be very aware of the assistant ranks as well, as they might have thoughts and plans in the future of wanting to rise their stock, because it happens innately by doing that when your team is starting to have success. Do you foresee extensions for those guys too and locking those guys up?
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to do that, certainly if you're Nebraska. I mean, I've been of the opinion for at least a year now that Lance Arvell, the recruiting coordinator, is going to make a good head coach for somebody in a few years. I mean, it's kind of how it works in college baseball is, you know, you work your way up as an assistant, maybe you're a head coach at a smaller school. And then, you know, I did a piece a couple weeks ago researching some of the best or, you know, most dominant college baseball coaches out there, the guys that regularly make it to Omaha. And for the most part, I mean, this isn't universal, but, man, there was a pattern where guys that got their first Power 5 job and when they were in their early 40s, it was that year, too, when things took off. And that's kind of how it worked out for Will Bolt this year. I mean, he was at Texarkana Junior College. He was an assistant at Nebraska and A&M. And then here in year two, you see this kind of sort of thing take off. But, yeah, I mean, the assistants are great, too. I mean, Jeff Christie, former Husker catcher, has worked with the pitchers really well. I think you've seen a lot of development there. Lance Arvell, the same sort of deal. I mean, he's the guy at third base running the offense. He's in his late 30s, and, he wants to be a head coach someday. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, Nebraska has a few more years with him for sure, but that's just how it is with successful programs, right? It's not just your guys getting drafted after their third year. It's your assistants getting long looks at head coaching jobs that come open every year. And so I think Nebraska is safe in that regard this year. I know there was a lot of hand-wringing even a week or two ago about the A&M head opening or the LSU head opening. I mean, Nebraska is not to that point yet where it has to worry about that sort of thing, but it could be in a few years if, things continue on the track that they are. But, you have to feel great about the staff that Nebraska has, and their volunteer assistant too, Danny Marcuso, was a big part of what they did in terms of scouting reports and some of the work that he did too. So it's a strong staff from top to bottom. It has a certain chemistry about it that I don't know you can say every college staff at any sport necessarily has. I mean, they're all close. They all have young kids. They're all competitive, like, in everything. So I think you put all that together, and, yeah, it's a staff you want to keep together certainly as long as you can, and just kind of see what happens.
One more player that I just got a text from someone, and we kind of, I think we forgot about him because he was missed most of the season. Where does Colby Gomes fit in this pitching rotation, or what's his role going to be next year?
Yeah, he'll be an interesting one. I mean, Nebraska could have used him this year too, right? Like, especially in that regional weekend. Yes. If you have a mid-90s arm that can come in and do what he can do, that'd be great. He missed all this year with that shoulder surgery. You would expect he would be back at full strength next year. He's another one of those interesting guys where he's been a closer at times. He's been a starter at times. He has been their first baseman and a hitter for them. I don't see that, a return to that. I don't think you're going to see him with a bat in his hands anymore. My opinion would be, and I think the coaches would say that they see him as a bullpen guy, somebody who might, at this point, be kind of that seventh or eighth inning guy, maybe the closer if things break right here this fall and he shows what he can do. But I'll be interested to see what he does in terms of his the different pitches that he offers. I mean, he's got that mid-90s lively fastball, but he doesn't have a ton of other pitches that he throws. He's had a year now just to kind of watch. He'll have some time to work with Jeff Christie. I believe he'll go out in the summer and maybe do a little bit of summer ball and some tinkering there too. So I think he'll be a big part of that bullpen next year. And again, when you look at Spencer Schwellenbach moving on, that vacates that closer spot and that ultimate high leverage arm that Nebraska's enjoyed this last year. But really, other than that, you can make the case that everybody else in that bullpen is going to be back next year. And so if you add him into the mix, the drop off might not be too steep in terms of what they have after that rotation. So yeah, he's a guy who was behind the scenes all year, who was a big part of that 2019 team that went to a regional. And safe to say we haven't seen the last of Kobe Gomez. Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Evan Bland, and you know, we're getting into the off season now. We got recruiting heating up, and Wilt Bolt, he's already showed that he can, you know, do some magic in the transfer portal. Are there recruits out there that you could tell us who have been contacted by Nebraska, or who are some guys that Nebraska could be looking at?
Well, yeah, I mean, baseball recruiting is a little bit of a different animal than football, right? Where every guy that gets an offer on football for a football program usually puts that out on social media. It's really not the case in baseball. It's a lot quieter. Guys aren't necessarily, in general, putting themselves out there quite as much, and you're recruiting 2 or 3 years ahead. So in Nebraska, really, is trying to finish out it's halfway through its 2022 class, and it's really working on its 2023s right now as well. So you're talking about guys that are freshmen, sophomores, maybe juniors in high school.
Evan? Hello?
You might have lost Evan right at the... There.
Evan, you there? It's a weird sound the phone's making.
It is. It is. Let's try to get him back real quick.
That's weird.
Try to get him back. Oh, there he is.
There you are.
You went fuzzy. Okay.
We got you now.
There he is. Evan's still here.
Sorry about that, Evan.
So anyway, no, it's all good. I was just saying, while they're working ahead on these classes, as far as high schoolers go, you can bet they're going to be pounding the pavement here for a transfer portal option or two. I can tell you, for example, Texas A&M has a new head coach, and so there are some players from Nebraska who were maybe not going to stick around. That's always a possibility. The junior college ranks is something that the staff has shown that it's going to hit hard. Danny Marcuso, the volunteer assistant, is a former JUCO guy and has a lot of connections down there. So I think that's sort of the blueprint for this program, is you hit the in-state talent hard, especially in high school. You supplement that with junior college guys, and now the transfer portal, especially with these one-time free transfers that they're going to start being able to enjoy a little bit more. And it's just a weird situation though, where, like, for this year, for example, the draft starts July 11th. It's the first time since the 60s, since this draft started, that it wasn't in June. And so while there are a lot of positives about that, like guys being able to play out the season without worrying about their pro prospects, the downside is, if you're a coach, you don't know. Like, if you're Nebraska, you don't know if Cade Povich is going to be here, and you might not know until mid to late July, like a month before you sign up for classes and you get things rolling in the fall. So a lot of it's going to be contingency planning and getting guys, identifying guys, and having backup plans in case those guys move on. So I think this next month is going to be a lot of that. I mean, you'll probably see some commits for future classes, maybe a class or two down the line. But I think a lot of it's going to be figuring out plan B, plan C, if some of these guys that we talked about, like Jackson Hallmark or Cade Povich or Cam Wynn, if they move on, they have to have guys at the ready to step in at a pretty quick notice.
Evan, you know, I think everybody in the state knows a lot about like what the football offseason's like. They know what the basketball offseason's like. Can you describe what the baseball offseason is like for these guys? Because obviously, you know, you have spring practice for football, you have this and this and that for basketball. I don't know if they know what the offseason looks like for college baseball.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot of the staff right now is back on the road. I mean, they're out recruiting again, and just like football and basketball, it's been almost a year and a half since the coaches have been able to get out and identify guys in person. So just like these other sports, they've been having to identify through some of their connections or, you know, videos online or Twitter tips or whatever. And so these guys, kind of like you see with, say, Ryan Held or guys on the football side, I mean, they're getting back out. They're gassing up the cars and they're saying goodbye for a few weeks as they get out. But then, you know, later in the summer, you got a little, that's kind of their downtime a little bit. And then you get into the fall, guys show up for classes late August, and you get into fall ball pretty soon after that. And that runs through mid-October, generally speaking. And then you kind of wind down, and basically from right around Thanksgiving to the start of second semester in January, they go home. They don't see them too much. You know, from a player's perspective right now, they're probably at home for a week or two before they head off to these collegiate leagues. So that's where most of Nebraska players will be this summer all over the country, the Cape Cod League or the Northwoods League or whatever it might be. So that's kind of their immediate future. And they get placed kind of based on development. I mean, if you're a high-end guy, you want to go to a place where the competition's higher. If you're a guy, maybe a sophomore or a freshman or something, you might go to a league where you can work on some things and build up some confidence and things like that. So that's all.
Evan, we lost you again. If you want to stop talking, we'll let you know when you come back.
There he is.
You there?
I'm here.
There he is. That's so weird. Something's happening that right little space. So, all right, Evan, go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry about that. No, so anyway, I mean, that's just kind of how it'll go.
Oh, man. Evan, we did lose you again.
On our end. This is our fault somehow. I know it is.
There you are.
He's back again.
Sorry about that.
No, it's not. Good. I think it's, I don't know what it is. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that was my point, was just, I guess, it kind of leads up into what will hopefully be a normal season next year where you start ramping up in January and you have some meaningful non-conference games starting in mid-February.
Well, Evan, man, we appreciate your time, man. It's been a pleasure having you on here. And enjoy the – I know you'll be up there. Enjoy some College World Series. Hope you get to see some good baseball up there.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Evan. Thanks, man. Evan Bland, Omaha World Herald right there.
Man, that –
that's weird, but good stuff from Evan, like always on a Tuesday, man. I'm excited because I want to ask that question. Obviously, you're sitting. It's different because the draft is in July. So you're trying to figure out – it's hard to have a discussion in the baseball world because – like a Povich or a Hallmark are waiting to see if it happens. What's the location? What's the round? You don't know, right? Because there's ones in the football, it's like, yeah, I'm opting out and going to the draft.
Yeah.
Done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? College basketball, I'm going to opt out. I'm going to go in the draft. Done. Or I'm not going to hire an agent. I could come back. Right?
Yeah.
Now you're looking at this. It's rounds, where I'm at, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting because if it does happen, the fact that you do get a Povich back and a Hallmark back, you're feeling really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're feeling really good, especially on the infield perspective and pitching, because you're going to move Bryce over. You're going to get a second base, probably Cam Chick, and you're going to be pretty put together, minus first base, figuring that out. But it's a unique situation having to wait so long. Because usually this is, you usually know already come College World Series time of draft and all that stuff.
Sure. And, I mean, you're already seeing guys like Roach. He had his, like...
Yeah, he pitched somewhere the other day,
with,
didn't
he? With the Grand Junction Rockies, I think is who it is.
Yeah, that is, but...
He went seven innings, gave up, like, one hit.
He's one that's already gone, but, yeah, he's already moved on and got the second phase started for him.
Povich, too, I think he's He's already doing his thing, too, with the same team, I think.
I don't know. It's interesting.
A lot of opportunities for guys to just start playing again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but it's still exciting. Man, I can't wait to Omaha and watching the College World Series and feeling that atmosphere again. And so
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Coming up, West Training at 10 after the break, and also NBA and Major League Baseball. Catch up the weekend, man. There's a team that's already advanced in the West. We'll talk that and a whole lot more.
Hey, by the way, before we get out of here, the opening ceremonies, they're not going on this year.
Boo.
Yep, sorry about
that. Thanks, Kevin Warren.